To see you today. Thank you for coming out. We are in this last part of our seven-part series called Rejoice, and today we're looking at Live in Contentment. So we're going to jump right in with this question. What does it mean to be truly content? Now, you can imagine that everybody answers that in their own way, and there may not be a lot of agreement among people generally ask that question. But I'll ask this question now and don't answer out loud. Are you content right now? Are you content? And if not, why not? And be thinking about that. Of course, I know what it's like to be content, and I know what it's like to not be content. And this series was entered into to help me be more able to rejoice and to be content even through tough times. Because a lot of us, we look to contentment as something that we're going to get to. The harder question is, how can I be content in those tough times? Going through tough seasons of life, think about it. Have you ever been content when you felt crushed, hopeless, confused, beat down by the circumstances that you're going through? Have you ever experienced a contentment even in the middle of that? Now you might ask yourself, is that even possible? And that's what we're discussing today. Because the Apostle Paul would say, it is possible, I am experiencing it, and here's the secret. And so, just with those thoughts in mind, it's like, wow, we're in for quite a thought-provoking discussion today. So let's jump right in. Point number one, the secret of being content is, let's start with this verse, and it won't answer it yet. Philippians 4:12, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. This is what Paul wrote. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So, I've known for a long time I'm going to be preaching on this, and this morning as I'm preparing to preach on this and I'm focusing on these thoughts, I had this big mug of coffee I was finishing off and went like this, and there was more in the mug than I anticipated. And I got coffee all over my shirt, and it's like, really? In any and every situation, be content? And this is that shirt, by the way. I didn't go home and then change shirts. I smiled. I didn't pop off and just go into groan mode. I took the shirt off, and I have a t-shirt, and I ran it through the sink and got the coffee out of it. And bless the Lord, we have a dryer on the campus, you know? And I was able to take care of the shirt. It's like, really? But every step of the way through this series, there's been kind of a challenge for each of us. I don't imagine it's just me. For each of us, learning these very tough concepts about rejoicing always in the Lord and being content even in tough situations. This is a difficult series to navigate teaching, but it's also a difficult idea to live. And so, it's with great joy that we start this topic, live in contentment. So what is Paul's secret of contentment? Are you ready? Can't tell you because it's a secret. Just kidding. You know, Paul says it's a secret, and he's not saying it's a secret because he's not going to tell us. He can't wait to tell us. He wants to tell us. He's saying it's a secret because it's so rare. And so many people don't experience it. And even when he expresses it, that also sometimes eludes people because they're not getting how this thing works in this mysterious way. So we are going to get there in a moment. But before we get into what that secret is, I'd like to talk about what the secret of contentment is not. Okay? What the secret of contentment is not. It's not finally arriving at that perpetual state of bliss. That's not the secret he's talking about. Okay? It's not a perpetual feeling of being on top of the world. Everyone experiences the coffee mug that's a little too full. How many of you have never done that with a coffee? Just, you thought it was just a little bit and you went a little bit too far and there was more in there than you thought? Okay. So all of us have done that? All right, with something, maybe it's the milkshake that stuck at the bottom and then came loose, right? Right? You've done that too. It's like, poof. All right. So it's not that it's all going well. It's through any and every kind of situation, learning how there is something that he wants to express to us to get a hold of this. So let me just say this theologically. True Christianity never presents a theology where you are always up and never down. Okay? If you start hearing people teach otherwise and put pressures on you and saying, rejoice in the Lord always, as if you never are down, just know that isn't being human. That's something different. And they're putting something on you that isn't true according to Christian theology, because all of the people that God worked through mightily went through extremely tough things. And Paul here, when he's saying, I've learned the secret, he's not saying it from the standpoint of bliss. He's saying it from the standpoint of what a difficult set of circumstances he is in. So we need to get a hold of that concept right at the outset. So we already know that the secret of contentment is very different. Paul's secret is very different than what is normally pursued for contentment in our world today. Okay? At first, I was going to give you all kinds of stuff from what the Stoics and the Greek philosophers were saying in Paul's day, because he actually uses their words against them. I'm just going to set that aside. And then, you know, there's all these Eastern philosophies of Buddhism and Hinduism and their view of contentment. I'm just going to set that aside, because there's so many different ideas of how to achieve contentment. And Paul is going to blast all of those out of the water with a better way. And so I just want to say, as it relates to stuff we do relate to in our culture that we're hearing all the time, here's just a list. Contentment in any and every situation is not achieved through external success, material wealth, or personal fulfillment, financial stability, career success, social status, or personal accomplishments. It's not as if you can buy it or achieve it through self-improvement, self-help, positive thinking, as if everyone can take control of their life and circumstances in these ways. Really? And yet we hear it all the time. And that's what everybody's trying to go for in terms of seeking this contentment that our world is saying is eluding you. How much control do we really have over our circumstances? Sure, we can develop resilience, mental toughness, grit, and become more adaptable, and all that helps. But how far can that take you? How far can self take you when self is the source of your discontentment? So all the self-help stuff that's out there isn't really good at addressing how we're our own worst enemies. And that discontentment is going to spiral on us. And if you think you can solve it through the self-help stuff that's out there, there's some pieces that are good and helpful. You know, thinking positively is a better way than just negatively all the time. And we are shaped by that kind of wrong thinking. So how far can self take you, especially if self is the source of your discontentment? What happens if you lack wealth or health or success? What if self-improvement is beyond you? Like the circumstances are, you're terminally ill. What then? Is the only answer to seek temporary comforts then? Because that's all you got left? So aim for pleasure, entertainment, distraction, comfort. Just do the best you can with the comfort that you can eke out of your existence right now. How helpful is that? And will it work? How much meaning is there if life is only focused on a little more personal comfort? So let me just ask you again, what about you? Are you truly content? And if you're not content this morning, what are you waiting for before you will be content? Because all of us have some thoughts in our minds about, I'll be content when. I'll be content if. I'll be content, and we have something we're hoping for, waiting for. That's different than the secret Paul is describing. Now, it's interesting that I mentioned all these different ideas about contentment. Sometimes contentment is hard to define, hard to find. You know what's not hard to find? Discontentment. That's easy to find. I mean, it's like easy to recognize, easy to find. It's like the human experience. And if you're not careful, you can find it all the time and begin to even articulate it all the time. And there it is frequently. So it's an epidemic in our culture right now, the epidemic of discontentment. We chase after temporary fixes to deal with it. And yet these pursuits leave us feeling more empty, more restless, and frequently in debt. Or worse, because we're grasping at something that'll help us just feel better, even if temporarily, and there's a danger there, okay? So let's contrast the popular ideas of contentment and being more content, which our world is pumping our hearts with and our ideas with. Let's contrast that now with Paul and what he has to say. So we're going to jump into the whole text for today. I'm just going to read it from start to finish, then we're going to start to break it out, okay? So we're going to be in Philippians 4, 10 through 13. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Now, I just need to say, some people who hear that will react adversely, and it does not comfort. Some people who hear that say something like this, yeah, right. See, this is the type of pie in the sky, bury your head in the sand, Christian outlook on life that I can't stand to be around. It's obvious that Paul is not living in the real world like we are. Because it just sounds too pie in the sky. But that person who reacts that way obviously hasn't been with us for the previous six sessions, because they do not understand that Paul is not experiencing bliss. He's saying this while he's chained to a Roman guard. He's saying this while he's been chained and abused and experiencing injustice for the previous 5+ years. And he's still able to say, I am content in any and every situation, and I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. And he has been saying stuff that we've been learning all along and how this works for him. And so it is with a reality that perks our ears up to say, okay, how does this work? It's precisely why we entered into this series together. Paul's contentment is not based on money, possessions, comfort, or circumstances. Paul's contentment is not based on having all his needs met. Paul was content whether he had plenty or was in want. His contentment was not a fleeting emotion or something dependent on external means like wealth or status. It wasn't because he was numb to suffering or indifferent to hardship. He wasn't settling for the mediocrity of accepting things the way they are, which some Eastern philosophies say your happiness has to be just acceptance of your karma, or whatever that is. He's not settling for that. So those are the things that are, it's not. So what is Paul's secret? Drum roll. Okay, here's a drum roll. Here it is. We just read it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That is his secret. And the him he's talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that doesn't kind of drill down to you're getting it, I'm going to put it this way on the screen. Contentment isn't about denying, enjoying, or ignoring difficult circumstances. Let's digest that a little bit. So you have difficult circumstances, you don't have to deny it or enjoy it or ignore it to be content. Need to get a hold of that, because a lot of theologies don't. Contentment isn't about denying, enjoying, or ignoring difficult circumstances. It's about the confidence that through Christ's strength and resources, you have everything you need to face whatever comes your way. The problem didn't go away necessarily, but now you have everything you need. I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. That's what he's talking about is the secret. Let me say it this way. His secret is about facing the circumstances, not necessarily about fixing the circumstances. He's not waiting for his circumstances to be fixed before he's content. It's a contentment that comes with this confidence that he's not alone, that with Jesus, he has everything he needs to have the ability to rejoice, to have hope, to look to the future with hope, and to have what he needs to face this thing and give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and live out a life that's honoring to his Father in heaven, live out a life that is something that others will look at and say, what do you've got that I'm missing? That kind of contentment is what he's describing. And that's the secret he wants us to get and get a hold of. And yet, he calls it a secret because we've heard it. Some of us have memorized it. We have known it. What is it that causes it to still seem like a secret to us and we're in discontent land? What's going on with that? And that's where training our minds and being close to Jesus and all of the habits that we've been learning about in even this last message last week was so helpful to us. We got to get a hold of those pieces, or this contentment is just an idea. And he's not describing an idea. He's describing this powerful relationship that is so real that he can say this in such a way that's freaking out every guard. And the guards are turning over their lives over to Jesus, and he ends the letter with, and all of the palace, the household of Caesar, who are now believers, brothers and sisters, send their greetings too. There's Christians upon Christians upon Christians coming to the Lord while Paul is in chains, talking about the good news and living like it is good news, even in his circumstances.
What a powerful message his whole life and this whole letter is. He doesn't have it all fixed, but he's facing it with this incredible confidence, this rejoicing in the Lord that's so beyond our way of coping. In our time and in our world, if we get a hold of this, people are going to want to know more about how your life ticks. What is it about you? How is it that you're able to love me even after I just did that to you? So, point number two, contentment is learned. Contentment is learned. Verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now, he hasn't told us precisely, in that first phase when I was in prison waiting, and it wasn't going right for me, maybe he hadn't quite learned it right. Maybe he had some struggles there. And maybe the next phase, it was a little bit more. He tells us honestly in chapter 3, I have not obtained all this yet, but I'm pressing on towards the goal. There's probably times in his life where he spilled his coffee and didn't respond correctly. I am hoping. Right? He's human too, but he has something that's so real, he's so excited about, he's writing about it as a reality that he is experiencing that we all need to experience and get a hold of. It's learned. What is true contentment? It's understanding that in Christ you have all you need for your current situation. So I don't know what your current situation is, but if you'll draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can arrive at the place where you can go, you know what? He's got this. And I love him for that. And you know what? I'm going to keep seeking him. And I'm going to get my face really close to him. I want to hear from him. I want to walk with him. I want to see what he's got up his sleeve. I want to know what the next circumstances is where, this is what you're doing. Can't wait for that. What is true contentment? It's confidence that Christ gives you strength to handle anything. What is true contentment? Learning to rely on his strength and his resources, trusting him for the outcome. A couple of important thoughts that just flow right out of that. Discontentment thrives when you focus on what you don't have. Discontentment thrives when you focus on what you don't have. Contentment grows when you appreciate what you already have. Do you want to be content? Don't focus on what you don't have. Appreciate what you already have. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Be thankful for the blessings God has already provided. Do you know he's already given us, if you're in Christ Jesus and you're walking with him and you're in a relationship with him, he has already given you everything you need for a life of godliness. The resources are there. The strength is there. That he's got this. We just need to keep walking with him, keep looking to him, and start developing the same patterns that Jesus had and establishing those patterns of prayer, quietness, connection with God's word, trust, obedience, just little steps all along the way. We're just building into us. The resources are there. And man, God gave us his son. Jesus gave us his spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us his fruit. And we're going to be equipped to give others good news. Receive. And as you receive this and focus on what you already have, you'll be learning contentment. It's interesting that it's something you learn, and yet this is also true. Point number three, contentment is a gift. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all this through him who, what? Gives me strength. Everything about the resources that come from God through Jesus Christ is a gift. It's grace. We don't deserve it. But we can learn it. We can receive it. We can appropriate it. And as we appropriate, receive, and learn, it's so good. So this verse, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Quit quoting it out of context. It follows on verses 11 and 12 and the greater context of where Paul is in those situations that are very, very hard. It's not about superhuman feats when you get under your next max on the weight machine, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just got to tap into believing and then boo! Let's keep it in context. The context is that when things are really, really tough, that doesn't mean you have a free pass to be living in discontent. When things are really, really tough, they're not so tough that you can't be content in what God is already giving you, and he is in control and knows your future, knows what he's doing. This is not a thing that, okay, it maybe didn't come from him, maybe it came from sin, maybe it came from the devil, but he's there for you. And he's going to walk you through it, and you can be content with the fact that you can face this together, and it's going to come out better than you can ask or imagine if you just walk with him. This is an amazing gift, walking with a Savior that loves us so much. So what does I can do all this mean? It means you can be content and confident that through Christ's strength and resources, you have everything you need to face whatever comes your way. So let's just do a quick overview of Philippians as a way to wrap things up for the end of this series. Where does this contentment come from? It comes from your union with Jesus. Experiencing a deep personal relationship with Jesus who provides the strength that you need. So completely rely on Jesus. That's what Paul's describing. Okay? I mean, we ran into chapter 1. For to me to live is Christ. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. You know what? And if I'm killed here, to die is gain. I don't think I'm going to die here. But to die is even gain. I'm not worried about it. God's got this. But that confidence comes from a union in a tight relationship with a Savior he personally knows. And last week, we covered the fact that we need prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, laying out all the anxieties before him, and then he provides this peace that transcends all understanding. And then in verse 8 of this chapter, so this builds off of all this stream of stuff we looked at last week. You need to fill your minds with whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. Think about such things. Control your thoughts. Fill your thoughts with those things which are healthy and uplifting and will bring more contentment and joy. Our world is going to bring you down if you don't. Fill your minds with the truth. And then enjoy unity with supportive relationships that are also believers who can lift you up while you're down. And you can lift them up while they're down. And together you have got this strength that is so beautiful. Life becomes more beautiful and meaningful. All of this is in the context of this thing. I've got this, not because I've got this. God has this. So self-sufficiency is what the Stoics taught. The word for contentment, Paul uses the Stoics' word and flips it on its head to redefine it. I'm self-sufficient because I'm God-sufficient. That's the source of sufficiency. I can do this because God, through Jesus Christ, is enough. In short, what is Paul's secret? Complete reliance on Jesus. So a lot of the times I say this, but we just need to understand, you have to identify in your life, what am I relying on to be content? If it's not Jesus, it might be getting in the way. Jesus is enough. False props, false things can lead you off. Good things. Let's rely on Jesus, because the secret of contentment is Jesus. I hope that you're glad that we went through this series together. I hope that you're glad that you came today. I hope that you're glad that we're not done. We are going into beautiful things next week. I'm going to be taking us through a life study of Abraham, but not just to learn from Abraham. We're going to learn from God, and it's going to be a series called Blessed to Bless. We are so blessed with all of this in Christ. There's a purpose behind it, to bless. And we're going to see how foundational faith was developed by God in the life of Abraham. And I'm looking forward to that series that we begin next week. If you're a guest with us today, thank you for coming. I hope that you'll fill out a Connect card, take it to the information table. We've got a gift bag for you. If you have a prayer need that's kind of heavy listening to all of this, we've got a prayer team ready to pray for you, or a prayer card you can fill out and put in the giving box there. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we thank you so much for the contentment that is ours in Christ Jesus, with this confidence of his strength and resources available, that we're not alone, and that you have a plan and a purpose and a goodness that you're bringing and weaving into our lives. So we seek your face. We seek you. We're excited to see what you're going to do in each of our scenarios as we step towards you and trust you. Help us to learn what next step we each need to take. Make it personal. Help us not walk away from this series thinking, oh, that was good information, but help us to walk in these steps that transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.